Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, Florida, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is John Pereira, pastor of Central Florida Bible Church. For more information regarding prior broadcasts and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. Now, here's Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
Thank you for tuning in to our Strength for Today Bible broadcast. Our topic for today is the death of a vision. As you look at the year 2002, already having passed, I ask you this question. Have you experienced the death of a dream? Everyone has dreams or desires that they wish would come true. For instance, a new bride is looking forward to having a yellow house with a white picket fence in the suburbs with a baby swinging on the porch. And perhaps with the passage of time, she finds herself rejected and abandoned by her husband. I think of the young college graduate majoring in accounting who wants to be a CEO in a Fortune 500 organization, who finds himself laid off and without a job, and the death of a dream. Or perhaps the athlete playing collegiate basketball who has great dreams of receiving a high-paying job and a contract with a leading NBA team, who never sees his dreams come to fruition. I think of the couple facing retirement, looking forward to experiencing years of carefree retirement living, and then experience the death of a dream in the death of the marriage partner, or perhaps some serious long-term illness. You see, these are things that are happening every day in the real world around us. I think of the young ministerial student graduating fresh from seminary. He's expecting to be God's gift to the earth, ready to attack hell with a water gun. And he finds that really he's been rejected in his first church. Perhaps even relieved of his ministerial duties, and is now facing the prospect of secular employment to meet his family's needs. You see, everywhere we turn, we find that things may not work out in life like we planned. Soon these dreams seem to turn to disasters, and our aspirations into ashes. We often feel like questioning God. Well, when we're facing the real struggles of life, there's some principles and some preliminaries that we must establish. First of all, principle number one, it's not wrong to dream. The problem is when we focus in on people, places, or possessions as being the vehicles to bring us happiness, rather than focusing on the Lord and what He can do for us. You see, the Lord will never let us down. But when we place our eyes on the wrong things, we're bound to fall to discouragement. Principle number two to remember in the death of a dream is that it's not wrong to ask God why a dream may not have worked out. God knows your heart anyway, doesn't He? It's not wrong to ask why. The Lord may reveal it to you, perhaps through the counsel of a wise counselor or a pastor. He may reveal the why through Scripture. Perhaps there have been some scriptural violations in your life. He may even reveal it circumstantially. And then again, there are some reasons that we'll never know this side of heaven until we stand before Him. The third principle to remember is that it is wrong to become despondent. It is wrong to try to take matters into our own hands when we're discouraged without consulting God. You know, it's at this point that we can make the most pitiable of mistakes. If we do not seek to deal with sin in our lives and seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. The fourth principle to remember when we experience the death of a dream is to remember that the Lord understands our sorrows. Our Lord was tested in all points, such as we are, and yet without sin. Isaiah 53 and verse 3 tells us that Jesus Christ, our Savior, was the one who was acquainted with our griefs. You see, He came and assumed a human body with its frailties and limitations so that He might be able to be our understanding high priest. And besides, when we read the Bible, we find out that there are others in the Scriptures who experienced the death of a dream. You're not alone. As a matter of fact, we're going to be looking in the Word of God at four Bible characters who experienced a dream and then the death of a dream. I would invite you to briefly consider the life of Abraham. The birth of his dream was when he came out of paganism to embrace the Lord God, Yahweh. The Word of God says in Genesis 12, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Abraham had a dream. He had a dream of a land, a seed, and a blessing. And God had given him that dream. But then I want you to notice in the book of Genesis chapter 15 that with the passage of time, 7 years to be exact, Abraham was now about 80 years of age. Sarah was 70, and the death of a vision began to settle in. In Genesis 15, the Word of God says, "After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And notice Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" For years, many Bible theologians were stumped by the petition that Abram was presenting before God. That is, until the year 1925, when in the Mesopotamian area, there were found some ancient Near Eastern texts, specifically the Nuzi documents, that gave us commentary on this particular passage. In this passage, Abraham was appealing to an ancient Mesopotamian custom of his day, that if a father was childless, he could then adopt to create an heir. And here, Abram was saying, "God, since you're not willing or not able to provide a child for me, would you be willing to let me follow the Near Eastern custom of adopting a servant in my house to become my child?" You see, he lacked faith in God and experienced the death of a dream. But God said no to him and reaffirmed his promise that out of his loins would come a child. And the Word of God says, "The Lord took him outside and showed him the stars of the sky and said, 'If you're able to number all of these stars, so shall your seed be.'" And the Bible tells us, Abram believed the Lord, and he counted it unto righteousness. God imputed that unto righteousness. But you know, 5 years later, Abram and Sarai were right back into taking matters into their own hands again. In Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, Sarah appeals once again to the social customs of her day. And she says, "Abram, why don't you marry your servant woman? And then the children that will be conceived will be considered our legal children as a barren wife." Do you know that this was also described in the Nuzi documents of the ancient Near Eastern texts? In other words, they were willing to follow society's way of doing things. Don't we see that around us today in Christian circles? Many believers abandoning faith begin to embrace the end justifies the means philosophy. But you know, praise God that the Bible testifies to us of God's grace in Abraham's life. Even though he made great mistakes, and we know about those mistakes, don't we? We're suffering in our country today, preparing to go into armed conflict because of the mistake and the result of the birth of Ishmael. But yet God honored his promise to Abram. In Genesis chapter 21 and verse 2, the Word of God says, "Sarah conceived." Here Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was finally born, and Sarah was 90, and out of their loins came the Jewish nation, the fulfillment of a dream. You know, God often withholds from answering one dream for the purpose of accomplishing a higher, loftier purpose. Trust in God. Look at how God worked in the life of Abraham. Then I think of Joseph. For time and brevity's sake, we'll just kind of review his circumstances, but you remember the birth of Joseph's dream. In Genesis chapter 37, he had a dream, and there were sheaves in a field, and his sheaf rose and stood upright, and the other sheaves around him made worship unto him. But then his brothers were angered at him, and he experienced the death of a dream, when in Genesis 37, he was sold into slavery, and then wound up in Egypt, and for a season experienced success, but then through a lie of Potiphar's wife, was thrown into jail. We know the story. He was in jail for 13 years, and experienced the death of a dream. But yet God raised him up through a series of circumstances where he was able once again to use his prophetic gifts to interpret a dream, and by God's grace, he was promoted to a great place of authority. Genesis 45 and verse 17, and he experienced the fulfillment of his dream. Genesis 45 and verse 17, Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, go and come into the land of Canaan." And God brought his family to Egypt as a refuge, and he was able to minister to his family in the fulfillment of a dream. I think of Moses in the book of Exodus chapter 2. From his mother's knee, as he was raised in Pharaoh's court, his mother was able to be his nurse. And I'm sure she instructed him from her knee as to how God would raise up a deliverer, and he could very well be that one. But then He experienced the death of a dream when he took matters into his own hands and slew the Egyptian. And the result was that he was in the backwoods for 40 years. The death of a dream. But yet his dream was fulfilled when God called him in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. And God gave him a call from the burning bush to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. I think of the experience of the Apostle Peter. Think of his birth of a vision when God called him from being a fisherman to serve him, and he experienced his call to service. And then he experienced the death of a dream in Matthew chapter 26 when the Lord told him in verse 33, Matthew chapter 16, "Verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me three times." The death of a vision. But then there was the fulfillment of a vision when God once again in John 21 reassured him and he said, "Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep." And he never forgot that lesson in 1 Peter chapter 5 when he spoke to those elders and said, "Feed the sheep which God has given unto you." Not being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You see, we all experience dreams, and for various reasons perhaps may see them dissolve before us. But God is able to work in our lives and pick up the pieces and accomplish a higher and loftier purpose. What should we do when our dreams are shattered? Well, there are four things that we need to do. You know, the Word of God says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick," Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Well, just remember, God uses broken vessels. And there are things that we need to do when our hope is deferred. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." When hope is deferred and your dreams are shattered, first of all, lean on the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Secondly, we need to learn from the Lord. We need to learn from the Lord. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, we need to remember that there are lessons that God wants to teach us. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me." There's the word, learn of me. "For I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Take my yoke, it's easy, and my burden is light." God will have many things to teach us in the backwoods of our lives. We need to ask the Lord to demonstrate to us if there's been willfulness or unconfessed sin that we need to confess. We need to read the Scriptures and learn of our Savior. So we need to lean on the Lord. We need to learn from the Lord. And then, following the principle of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, we need to love the Lord. Oftentimes, dreams disappear and we experience the death of a dream because we have allowed other things in our lives to crowd out the supremacy of loving the Lord. For the Word of God says in Deuteronomy 6:5, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Sometimes we have expectations. We have that little yellow house with the baby swinging on the porch. Or perhaps we have those expectations of what our retirement years ought to be, or what our health ought to be. And we have those expectations, and we have those as things that we expect from God, if He is going to be good towards us, we think. And we have a tendency to put people and possessions or our plans before the Lord. And the Lord says, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. So we need to lean on the Lord. We need to learn from the Lord those things that He wants us to learn when He shatters our dreams. Then we need to love the Lord. And finally, we need to live for the Lord. Philippians 1:21, the words of the Apostle Paul when he was suffering in a Roman prison for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. He was able to say, Lord, You've worked in my life. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Folks, we need to beware of adopting the world standard of success. We need to be so careful. You know, the one time that the word success is found in the Bible is in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and verse 8. And success is defined as being in the will and in the way and in the word of God, not the world's concept of success. Joshua 1:8 says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You know, to mankind, Jesus Christ was a failure. But in the eyes of God, God said, This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, a construction crew was building a new road through a rural area. And they were knocking down trees as they progressed. And a superintendent noticed that one tree had a nest of birds that didn't fly because they weren't able yet to fly. And that superintendent marked the tree so that it wouldn't be cut down. Several weeks later, the superintendent came back to the tree to see how the little birds were doing. And he got into the bucket truck and he was lifted up so that he could look into the nest. And those little fledgling birds were gone. They had obviously by now learned how to fly. So then the superintendent ordered the tree to be cut down last. And as the tree came crashing to the ground, the nest fell clear, and some of the material that the birds had gathered to make the nest was scattered about. Feathers and sticks, a few pieces of cloth. But then the superintendent peered down, and he noticed that part of what the birds had laid in the nest was a scrap of paper torn from a Sunday school pamphlet. And he picked up the scrap of paper and read it. And on this little scrap of paper, just 2 inches long, were the words, He careth for you. You know, the Word of God tells us that we are much more valuable to our Savior than the birds of the air. Jesus said, Behold the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? God's care will lead us through our shattered dreams. I assure you, if you commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and make Him the Lord of your life, giving Him the shattered dreams and placing them into His hands, He will accomplish a far greater task than you were ever able to ask or think. Be not troubled with thoughts about tomorrow, of duties you surely must do. On the Lord cast your burden of sorrow. It matters to Him about you. Be not weary when trials are given, but trust Him to carry you through. He will make all a pathway to heaven. It matters to Him about you. Then be patient until His appearing. 'Tis dawn almost now on your view, for the mists of this dark age are clearing. In love He is planning for you. Be assured of God's gracious promise. He who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ Jesus. If you're listening to my voice today and you do not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I would invite you to come to the foot of the cross, repent of your sins, and look to Him who shed His blood for your sins. If you know Christ as Savior, I would invite you to commit your life to Him. Commit this new year to Jesus Christ and His Lordship. Lean on the Lord. Indeed, learn from the Lord. Trust Him and His guidance in your life. Love Him and live for Him. And I assure you, the best will be yet to come.
Thank you for listening to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to other messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, strengthfortoday.info. That's strengthfortoday.info. This is Charles Schaefer. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.